Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A pastor tells a story of a group of men who had been attending his congregation for some time. These men were residents of a developmental disability group home. And the pastor, when he saw them, he began to ask himself the question, do these men have an understanding of what's going on here? How much of the message can they absolutely understand? Or is the message of the gospel too complicated for them to ever comprehend? After one of the services, one of the gentlemen by the name of Jack approached the pastor, and he had a cast on his arm and a sling. And he greeted pastor with a hello, and the pastor looked at him and says, "Did that hurt?" And Jack responded with these words in a halting voice, "I come here and hear about Jesus. And I think about all the pain He went through for me. And I think this is nothing." The question I pose to you this morning is simple. Can you see Jesus? This morning started out with a procession. You have palm branches in the pews before you. Jesus is the rock star who comes home. It's amazing. People are overwhelmed. The crowds begin to swell. The cry goes out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Everybody loves Him. The palm branches are cut. The cloaks are strewn on the ground. And Jesus makes His way into the holy city. All the bells, all the whistles. It is amazing. That's the Jesus that I want to see. But as you heard the children, that word Hosanna means to save now or to save us. And we just got in our seats and we're just finally catching our breath and we're getting over all the excitement. And then the pastor goes into the reading of the passion narrative for today that goes on forever. And that narrative takes us all the way to Calvary. And we begin to see a different Jesus. Not the rock star, but the sacrifice. We see Jesus who is beaten and bloodied, face covered with spit from those who had derided Him and spit upon Him in disrespect. We see the scourge mark as deep furrows dug into the flesh of His back. We witness all of that and the crown of thorns and the disrespect and the pain and the excruciating agony. Excruciating comes from a Latin word that means out of the cross. But can you see Jesus now? Can you see Jesus now? Humiliated. Stripped of His clothing. When they crucified someone, they were naked. No nicely placed white loincloth around His midsection. Mothers, could you see your Son stripped naked before all to see, pierced and crucified? But the question is, can you see Jesus now? My home congregation is Trinity in Grand Island, which is connected to your congregation via Pastor Real, who ironically was the man who told my mother-in-law I should be a pastor, and I'm here because of him. In that pulpit, there is a little sticker, plaque in the pulpit that says, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." I know because they let me preach there, I think once or twice. It reminds the pastors that stand in that pulpit that you have one goal in mind: to show this congregation Christ. That's your only job. When you leave, they better have Christ in mind. There's only one problem. We don't have a real picture of what Jesus looks like. We have no artist rendition of it. We have absolutely no Facebook photo albums with Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead and all that stuff. There's no YouTube videos of Jesus handing the food out to the thousands. We don't know what he looks like. So how can I actually allow the congregation to see Jesus? Mel Gibson gave it a whirl a few years ago in the movie called The Passion of the Christ. Did you see that? Can you see Jesus now? You know, there's stories of people having heart attacks at the movie theater when they see the depth of the suffering portrayed in Christ crucified. The scourging was the worst. You can actually see the barbs of that scourge drink into his back and rip the flesh loose, and it's open, it's flowing, and it's grotesque. And it goes on forever. Christ crucified and the driving of the nails and the bending them over on the backside to secure Christ that he may not be moved. No longer do we hear the words, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now we hear the words, crucify him, in that seething voice of hatred. Can you see Jesus now? Perhaps many of the same people that said, Hosanna to the Son of David, are the same ones now standing beside the cross to see how it all ends. It's the spectacle of the day. It's prime time. Everyone wants to see. See, they had said all the right things before, but now in the midst of the sin which they committed, they no longer wanted to see Jesus as anything but a troublemaking prophet who had no business in Jerusalem. They don't want to see Jesus now because it's too offensive, it's too graphic, and it's way too brutal for human consumption. But my question for you is, can you see Jesus now? See, the prophet Zechariah would refer to you and I as being feeble. You know, as you grow older, you begin to feel that way, don't you? It's harder to get around, and I can't do the things I used to do. I feel feeble. I have to have other people help me do stuff. If you're not there yet, you will one day be there. It's humiliating. But he refers to you and I as feeble because we cannot save ourselves. God has given us his law to live by, and what do? We walk all over it. So often we don't take our sins very seriously. Sin, really? The government says it's okay, Pastor, so what's your problem? There are so many times when we simply don't even care. We say all the right things about Jesus and what he has done for me, but behind the scenes we're saying, go ahead and crucify him. It'd be kind of cool to watch. Zechariah also says that we are feeble and we shall look upon the one we have pierced, and that indeed is what we have done. Did you hear it in the hymn that I chose for the day? Those words, verse 3, yet, O Lord, not thus alone, make me see your passion, but its cause to me make known, and its termination. I also in my sin wrought your deep affliction. This indeed the cause has been of your crucifixion. Do you know what you just said? Jesus, I put you on the cross. I crucified you by all that I have done, falling short of the glory that God has called me to. Well, don't feel alone, because Scripture also tells us that no one is perfect, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter if you wear a collar, you're the head elder, whoever you are, it doesn't matter. We are all sinners in the sight of God, and we are truly feeble and cannot help ourselves. But what exactly do you see in Jesus? Do you see the sacrifice for all of your sins? Do you look upon the cross and actually acknowledge what we sang, that Jesus, I have crucified you by my sinful thoughts, words, and deeds? And the confirmands will tell you, but what I've done and what I've not done, omission and commission sins. I am guilty, and I'm not a sinner because of what I do. It's who I am. I am sinful all the way to the bone. Do you see yourself as weak and feeble? In light of the cross, I hope you do. Because if you do, you're one of us. Unable to save ourselves, and as we view the bitter crucifixion of Christ, we realize it's because of all that we have done. The crucified Jesus isn't a Jesus that everyone wants to see. There's a church outside of Chicago called Willow Creek. The pastor, Heibel, once in an interview with a reporter said, when asked why there's no cross in their church, his comment was this: "We don't want to tie all Christianity up in one sign." Really? Reverend Heibel, there is no Christianity without the cross. Pastor, can you see Jesus now? Do you see Him for who He is, the sacrifice for all of your sins? And that is exactly who He is. I haven't always been Lutheran. You have a former Baptist preaching to you today. That might account for the volume of my voice, because most Baptists are deaf anyway. But I want to tell you something. I married a Lutheran girl, and that's the best form of evangelism, young ladies. Find yourself a Baptist boy and marry him. But the reality is, as a Baptist, I never saw the whole Jesus. Of course they're Christian. But I never saw the Jesus that came to me through means of grace. A Jesus where I'd stand before and with the other brothers and sisters in Christ and acknowledge what you did today. Not the exact words, but the words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." You know what I'm saying. And I hope you weren't lip-syncing, because I wasn't. But at the end of that, to hear the words of absolution, your pastor to say, "As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." I can see Jesus now. And I believe tomorrow night, as you receive the body and blood of Christ, the pastor said, "Take, eat." In the words of Christ, "This is my body." And His hand becomes the hand of Christ that feeds you. So that you're not overwhelmed in your sin with uncertainty and a desire to say, "I got to do better, I got to do this, I got to do something to save myself." You simply say, "I rest at the foot of the cross. I receive the gifts of grace that God gives. I cannot save myself." And as you have been baptized, there were a couple baptisms here on Thursday. And as you passed through the water of holy baptism, you became a child of God, not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done to you. You are a new creation. Satan's going to tell you you are not. You are a sinful. Look in the mirror of God's law. You don't measure up. Look at what you have done. And the best answer of all is, I can see Jesus now. I see Him crucified. I see Him risen for the life of the world. I want to close telling you a story, and I apologize, it's a little longer than I like, but it's about a little boy who was 10 years old that was in an automobile accident. And in the accident, he had lost his left arm. But he was a 10-year-old boy that wanted to be active with his friends, and so when his friends played basketball, he learned how to play with one arm. When they were playing baseball, he learned how to field it and to throw it with one arm. And then they signed up for judo. Judo. A one-armed judo guy. Not going to work very well, but he went to the dojo faithfully. He wanted to learn the art of judo. And the sensei showed him one move only. Over and over and over again over weeks and months. And finally the 10-year-old boy goes, "Sensei, why don't you show me some kicks and some other throws?" And the sensei replied to him, "You know one move only. That's all you need to know." As the months went by, the little boy continued to train and train more until there was a tournament and the sensei entered the little 10-year-old boy in a judo tournament. And the first two matches, he won, lickety-split. The third guy was tougher and the match kind of went back and forth until finally his opponent became frustrated, charged at him, and the little boy used that one move to defeat and pin him. Now he's in the finals and he's wrestling against a very experienced judo man, someone who is very accomplished. And as the match begins, the boy is getting throttled. And the referee's almost ready to call the match when the sensei told him, don't, let it continue. And as the match went on, his opponent finally made the fatal mistake. The boy caught him with his one move and pinned him, and a one-armed boy won the judo championship. On the way home, they were talking about how he had won and the different things that happened and his experiences. And finally, the boy had enough courage to ask him, sensei, how did I win the judo championship with just one move? And the sensei said, you won for two reasons. The first one is this: you studied nothing else. You mastered one move, the most difficult move known in judo. And secondly, you won because the only known defense to this move is to grab your opponent's left arm. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is exactly what Calvary is. It's God's one move. His one move to redeem you. This morning, as you gather in this place, no matter what sin you struggle with, no matter where you're at in your life, I do know one thing for sure, that one move has enough power to redeem you and pin your opponent once and for all. It's simply receiving the gifts that God has given. So I remind you this morning who you are. You are God's people, forgiven and redeemed by Christ and Him crucified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.